If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Donna Adelson's shocking claim that she was grabbed and extorted while in jail has thrown a new wrench into an already convoluted murder for hire case. A case that feels like it was ripped straight from an 80s crime flick. At first glance, it might seem like just another twist in a saga that has taken more turns than a Back to the Future time travel adventure, but the facts on the record are anything but science fiction. What we have here is a story of alleged criminal machinations, family feuds, and murky dealings that now include claims of extortion, claims that, if true, add a fresh layer of coercion and internal power play to a case long defined by calculated planning. The backdrop to this drama is the high-profile murder-for-hire plot surrounding the killing of Florida state law professor Dan Markell. For years, the narrative has centered on a meticulously orchestrated plan involving Donna Adelson, her son Charlie Adelson, and the alleged co-conspirator, Catherine Magbauna. With Charlie Adelson's conviction for his role in the killing lending considerable weight to the narrative of a premeditated operation, the spotlight has now shifted onto Donna Adelson's own startling allegations. In recent court proceedings, she recounted testimony from two inmate witnesses, a testimony that suggests the hit order wasn't the product of a casual offhand remark, but part of a deliberate and coordinated plan. One inmate's account, now part of the public record, claims that Magbauna allegedly said, "Wait till I come back. I am going to take care of that family. Wait till they see what they're going to get, and I'm going to get a reduced sentence." Such a statement, delivered under the unflinching scrutiny of a courtroom and captured on audio, hardly sounds like something that could be dismissed as a misunderstood joke. Now, as with any complex case, alternative theories have surfaced among those trying to piece together what really happened. One theory suggests that the Adelsons might never have formally ordered a hit at all. Instead, it posits that perhaps a casual, offhand comment, made out of frustration or even dark humor, was later exploited by an opportunistic third party. According to this theory, someone, maybe even connected to Charlie's ex, saw an opening in the chaos and twisted that comment into a full-blown claim that the family had hired hitmen. The extortion scheme, in this view, would involve the perpetrator using that claim as leverage to demand ongoing payments to keep the alleged hitmen silent. It's the kind of scenario that, if you were sharing a few drinks and mulling over an 80s action movie plot, might sound plausible enough. After all, in the criminal underworld, even the slightest ambiguous remark can be weaponized by a clever opportunist. However, when we turn to the verified facts, this theory begins to crumble. The inmate testimony that Donna Adelson recounted in court is detailed and consistent. It hardly seems like the product of a casual remark. Instead, the testimony points to a direct and deliberate statement from Magbauna, one that suggests intent and planning rather than an offhand joke. Moreover, the conviction of Charlie Adelson for his role in the murder-for-hire scheme reinforces the argument that this was not a spur-of-the-moment comment, but part of a coordinated criminal operation. When a jury convicts someone of orchestrating a murder-for-hire, it's based on a substantial body of evidence pointing to deliberate intent and planning, not merely vague insinuations or misinterpreted words. Another theory has been put forward that suggests the possibility of an external actor, a third party with a grudge or simply an opportunist looking to make a quick buck, exploiting the situation. In this scenario, someone with ties perhaps to Charlie's ex might have fabricated or exaggerated the hit order claim, using it as a pretext to extort money from the Adelson family. The idea here is that an extortionist could have manufactured a story that the Adelsons had ordered a hit, then used that narrative to demand payments in exchange for keeping the alleged hitmen silent. It's a twist that carries a certain cinematic appeal. Imagine a lowlife, straight out of a reimagined version of Scarface, setting the Adelsons up to line his pockets while remaining comfortably hidden in the background. Yet even this theory struggles to gain traction when confronted with the available evidence. There is no verified information linking any external opportunist or anyone connected to Charlie's ex to the extortion claims. Donna Adelson's allegations and the inmate testimony both originate from within the detention center, not from an outsider trying to manufacture a scandal. The legal record is replete with detailed depositions, courtroom testimonies, and a series of judicial proceedings that all point toward a coordinated murder-for-hire operation. The narrative that has emerged from these proceedings consistently supports the idea of internal planning and deliberate action, not the handiwork of an external extortionist. For those who scrutinize the evidence, the picture remains clear. The case centers on internal criminal strategy rather than on an external opportunist manipulating events from the shadows. There is, however, a third angle to consider, one that brings us back to the possibility of an internal criminal strategy incorporating extortion tactics. In this theory, the alleged extortion claims are not the result of miscommunication or external manipulation, but rather a deliberate tactic within the criminal enterprise itself. Here, extortion isn't something imposed by an outsider. It's a tool employed by those within the conspiracy to maintain control and ensure that everyone stays on message. In the world of organized crime, extortion is not uncommon. A way to enforce loyalty, silence dissent, and punish any deviation from the plan. The inmate testimony, particularly Magbauna's threatening statement as relayed by one of the witnesses, might indicate not only that a hit was ordered, but also that coercion was being used to ensure the plan was followed to the letter. It's a scenario where if you don't toe the line, you're at risk of a similar care from someone who knows all too well how to operate in a ruthless environment. This internal strategy theory finds support when we consider the overall picture painted by the legal records. Multiple defendants, including Charlie Adelson, have been convicted for their roles in the murder-for-hire plot, a fact that underscores the level of organization and premeditation involved. It's difficult to reconcile a spontaneous act of extortion with a criminal conspiracy that has been meticulously documented in court. Furthermore, the allegations of assault and extortion made by Donna Adelson while in detention, which led to her being moved into protective custody, lend further credence to the idea that coercive tactics were part and parcel of this operation. If the extortion were merely a case of a casual comment being misinterpreted or an external setup, it wouldn't align so neatly with the broader, more deliberate narrative of the murder-for-hire scheme. When we weigh these various theories side by side, the evidence clearly favors a narrative in which the hit order was deliberate and meticulously planned, and where the extortion claims are part of an internal strategy rather than the product of a misinterpreted remark or an external opportunist's plot. The detailed inmate testimony, the audio recordings of direct threats, and the judicial outcomes, including Charlie Adelson's conviction, leave little room for alternative interpretations. Every piece of verified evidence seems to point to a scenario in which the Adelson family was deeply involved in a criminal enterprise that not only ordered a hit but also used coercion to ensure the plan's secrecy and compliance among those involved. Let's break this down further. The idea that a casual comment could be twisted into a claim of a formal hit order relies on the notion that words spoken in frustration or in jest could be misconstrued. While it's true that in everyday life, offhand remarks can sometimes be taken out of context, the stakes here are astronomically higher. In the charged atmosphere of criminal conspiracies, every word is calculated. The inmate testimony that Donna Adelson recounted is not something that can be easily dismissed as a misunderstanding. It points to a clear intention, a statement that carries the weight of a planned operation, not the flippancy of a casual joke. In a case where every detail is scrutinized, the consistency and specificity of that testimony serve as a stark reminder that this was no accident or slip of the tongue. Now consider the external extortion theory. If an opportunistic third party had indeed stepped in, perhaps someone linked to Charlie's ex, the evidence would likely show some connection between that individual and the unfolding events. Instead, what we see is a narrative built almost entirely from within the detention center. Donna Adelson's allegations of being physically grabbed and extorted while in custody, along with the corroborating inmate accounts, stem directly from her experiences and the observations made by those inside the facility. There's no verified link to an external actor orchestrating a scheme from behind the scenes. The legal proceedings, the depositions, and the courtroom records all point to an internally generated operation, one in which every move was planned and every threat was issued as part of a broader, coordinated strategy. Moreover, the very fact that Charlie Adelson was convicted lends considerable weight to the argument that this wasn't a matter of a casual remark or external manipulation. A conviction for a murder-for-hire scheme is not handed down lightly. It results from the accumulation of compelling evidence that demonstrates deliberate intent and planning. In this light, the inmate testimonies and Donna Adelson's own claims about extortion and assault in jail do not appear as isolated incidents, but rather as integral parts of a well-documented criminal operation. The coordinated nature of the actions, ranging from the alleged hit order to the use of extortion tactics, paints a picture of a criminal enterprise where each participant played a defined role. In such a system, extortion isn't an afterthought or a collateral detail. It's a key component designed to keep the operation running smoothly and to silence any potential dissent. There's also a broader context to consider. The murder-for-hire plot targeting Dan Markell has been under scrutiny for years, with each twist and turn adding complexity to an already labyrinthine case. Over time, the narrative has evolved from a simple custody dispute turned violent to a sprawling criminal conspiracy that implicates multiple parties within the Adelson family and their associates. Donna Adelson's recent claims only add another dimension to this narrative, forcing us to re-examine the established facts in a new light. Is it possible that a hit order could have been nothing more than a misinterpreted comment? Or is the evidence so overwhelming that it confirms the deliberate and calculated nature of the crime? When you examine the details, it's hard to argue against the latter. The testimony from the inmates is not the sort of vague suggestion that can be easily brushed off as a misunderstanding. It is precise, measured, and directly implicates a planned action. Furthermore, the fact that this testimony was delivered in a court setting with all the attendant legal formalities and scrutiny adds a layer of credibility that cannot be ignored. In the realm of criminal justice, when multiple sources provide consistent accounts that point to a deliberate act, it's a signal that the narrative is built on more than just hearsay or misinterpretation. It's also worth noting the broader implications of these allegations. In many high-stakes criminal cases, the line between victim and perpetrator can sometimes blur, especially when extortion and coercion enter the picture. Donna Adelson's claims of being assaulted and extorted while in jail raise questions about the dynamics of power within the criminal enterprise. Were these acts of violence and intimidation used to ensure compliance? Or were they indicative of internal conflicts and power struggles among the conspirators? While we may never have all the answers, the fact that such claims exist underscores the ruthless environment in which these alleged crimes were orchestrated. In a system where every participant is expected to adhere to the plan, any deviation, real or perceived, can result in swift and brutal repercussions. At the end of the day, while alternative theories will always swirl around a case as complex as this one, the verified facts leave little room for doubt. The inmate testimony, the recorded statements, the protective custody move, and the judicial outcomes all coalesce to form a narrative of deliberate, calculated criminal behavior. The notion that the Adelsons merely joked about a hit, or that an external opportunist twisted their words for personal gain, simply does not hold up under scrutiny. The evidence speaks for itself. The hit order was planned, the extortion tactics were deliberate, and Donna Adelson's involvement is part of a larger, well-coordinated scheme that left no room for mere chance or misinterpretation. Imagine sitting down with a friend over a drink and recounting a story that sounds as if it were scripted for a blockbuster film. You might mention a few classic lines from Back to the Future, or recall the gritty intensity of Scarface to set the mood. But when the conversation turns to real-life events, events that have real consequences for real people, the tone shifts. There's no room for the flamboyance of Hollywood in a case that has upended lives and shattered reputations. Instead, you're left with the cold, hard facts of a criminal enterprise that was planned down to the last detail, where every whispered threat and every recorded statement carries the weight of deliberate intent. That's exactly what we see here. The narrative, as it stands, isn't about a misinterpreted remark or an external scam. It's about a carefully orchestrated operation where the Adelson family played a central role. The allegations of assault and extortion aren't random acts of violence. They are part of a broader strategy designed to enforce loyalty and ensure that the conspirators remained in line. In a world where every action is calculated and every word is weighed, the evidence simply does not support the idea that this was anything less than a premeditated criminal scheme. So, where does this leave us? On one side, we have a theory that tries to cast the hit order as nothing more than a flippant comment taken out of context. A narrative that suggests the Adelsons never truly intended to hire hitmen, and that an opportunist exploited a casual remark for extortion. On the other side, the robust body of evidence, the inmate testimonies, the audio recordings, the judicial convictions, points unmistakably toward a deliberate and coordinated plan. The consistency of the accounts, the gravity of the recorded statements, and the legal outcomes all converge on one conclusion. The actions taken were not accidental, and the extortion claims are not the result of an external con. It's a stark reminder that in the world of high-stakes criminal operations, there is little room for ambiguity. Every threat, every order, every act of coercion is part of a larger strategy designed to control outcomes and silence dissent. Donna Adelson's claims, whether one finds them shocking or unsurprising, add yet another layer to a case that continues to defy easy explanations. The evidence, as it stands, leaves little doubt that the hit order and the subsequent extortion tactics were integral components of a premeditated scheme, not the product of a misinterpreted joke or an external opportunist's ruse. In the final analysis, while it's always tempting to entertain alternative narratives over a late-night drink, the hard facts don't lie. The extensive and consistent testimony provided by inmates, coupled with the legal verdicts that have followed, paints a picture of a criminal enterprise executed with precision and ruthlessness. The idea that the Adelsons could have merely been joking about a hit or that someone else exploited a misinterpreted remark for extortion simply doesn't hold water when faced with the cumulative evidence. Ultimately, the case leaves us with one clear, inescapable conclusion. The actions taken by the Adelsons were part of a meticulously planned murder-for-hire operation, and the extortion elements observed are not an accidental byproduct, but a deliberate tactic used to maintain control and silence within the conspiracy. Donna Adelson's testimony, the inmate accounts, and the subsequent judicial outcomes all converge to tell the same story, a story of calculated criminal intent, where every word was measured and every threat was a signal of the ruthless measures employed by those involved. So while we might chuckle at the irony of a story that sounds like it's straight out of an 80s crime classic with nods to Back to the Future and Scarface, the sober reality remains unchanged. This isn't a case of a casual remark gone awry. It's a stark demonstration of how a criminal enterprise is built on precision, coercion, and deliberate action. In a world where every misstep can lead to devastating consequences, the evidence leaves no room for fanciful interpretations. Only the cold, hard truth of a premeditated, ruthless operation. And that, my friends, is the story as it stands. No frills, no forced drama, just the unvarnished facts of a case that continues to send shockwaves through the legal and criminal worlds. The narrative may have its twists and its turns, but when all is said and done, the evidence is as clear as day. The hit order, the extortion, and the chain of events that followed are all parts of a carefully orchestrated plan. In this case, there's no room for ambiguity, only the stark reality of deliberate criminal intent and the heavy price that comes with crossing that line.
The neighborhood was picture perfect. Manicured lawns, kids riding bikes, friendly smiles exchanged over white picket fences. And then there was him, the guy who never made eye contact, the one who only left his house at night, dragging black trash bags to the curb. Bags that sometimes twitched. He's just a little odd, they said. Just keeps to himself. Until the smell started. Until the missing pets turned into missing people. Until someone finally had the nerve to peek inside that basement window. And if they had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, they could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, they could have recognized the warning signs. They could have gotten out, but they didn't. And now they're part of the next episode. Don't make the same mistake. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelday providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelday can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.